Joe, before you're cleared, do you have a love for God?
Check.
Time for God?
Check.
Is your Bible open?
Check.
Do you have no distractions?
Check.
Well, Joe, we are cleared for takeoff.
Heaven, how might this be my story? Heaven, how very soon I'll be gone. Heaven, how to my mansion in glory. When you hear the trumpet sound, I'm heaven bound.
Cleared for Takeoff is a preparatory program for your faith journey. And now, here is your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio on our program, Clear for Takeoff. This is Deacon Joe Montone, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. My friends, this is a new year, and I want to wish you and your family a very happy and healthy new year, and may this year be your best year ever. This weekend we celebrate the Epiphany of our Lord, and so let's go to our first reading, but before we do, let's do our checklist as we normally do. Number one, do you have time for God this morning? Check. Is your heart open wide for God? Check. Is your Bible open? Check. And are you free of distractions? Check. And if you've answered yes to these four questions, then you and I are ready to engage in the Word of God. Once again, let's go to our first reading from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 6. And here it is. Rise up in splendor, Jerusalem. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord shines upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick clouds cover the peoples. But upon you the Lord shines, and over you appears his glory. Nations shall walk by your light, and kings by your shining radiance. Raise your eyes and look about. They all gather and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters in the arms of their nurses. Then you shall be radiant at what you see. Your heart shall throb and overflow, for the riches of the sea shall be emptied out before you. The wealth of nations shall be brought to you. Caravans of camels shall fill you, dromedaries from Midian and Ephah. All from Sheba shall come, bearing gold and frankincense, and proclaiming the praises of the Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And from the prophet Isaiah, my friends, you and I are given a great message. And here is one of the important things that I want to get across to you this morning, is that the word says that your light has come. The glory of the Lord shines upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, thick clouds cover the peoples, but upon you the Lord shines. This is a new year, my friends. We have just celebrated once again the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, the creation of our holy family. It's a new year. It's a time to reflect on the fact that there is darkness out there. But for you and I, because we are believers in Jesus Christ, because we are focused on the message of the gospel and willing to live it out day in and day out, the light has come. The glory of the Lord shines upon you and I, my friends. Upon you and I, the light of God dwells. And so this is important that we go positive versus negative in those times when darkness covers our home, our city, our community, for whatever reason, because there are a lot of negative aspects to our day. But for you and I, because we are believers in Christ, God lifts us up. We have the Holy Spirit. We have God our Father, the Creator of all mankind, who has given us Jesus Christ, His only Son, as a gift, as the greatest gift the world has ever seen. And with that in mind, we can look forward to tomorrow. We have hope and great vision into the future. And although there are those dark times, the Lord will bring us through. He will see us through, as He has done for centuries and for thousands of years. The church will survive hard times, dark times, because we have the Holy Spirit. We have our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have our Father in heaven. We have our Blessed Mother Mary, who the vehicle by which Jesus Christ came into the world. So we are very fortunate as believers, my friends. And for us, the cup is half full and not half empty. So we want to remember each and every day that the light of the world, Jesus Christ, has come. And the glory of God shines upon you and I because we believe. And with that knowledge, we are empowered to do extraordinary things for God and for God's people. Let's go to our second reading. From the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 2 to 3, and 5 to 6, from the word of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for your benefit, namely, that the mystery was made known to me by revelation. It was not known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles are co-heirs, members of the same body, and co-partners of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in our second reading from the book of Ephesians, St. Paul reminds us that the stewardship of God's grace was given to him for our benefit. Once again, God's grace. What does it mean to you? What impact does it have on my life and on your life? To be under the umbrella of the grace of God is a powerful area to live in. To be within the grace of God gives us the peace of God, empowers us to do some extraordinary things for people, both inside and outside of the church. So as we proceed in daily life, one of our great objectives this year, as it's a new year, is to not fall from the grace of God, but to maintain our territory within God's grace, so that we can benefit, as St. Paul says, it was given to St. Paul to benefit us. To benefit us. And with God's grace, St. Paul was able to write 13 books of the Bible and preach the gospel on the front lines to other people, to preach the word of God, bring the peace of God, deliver the love of God to the hearts and minds of people everywhere. And for you and I, my friends, we have that same opportunity if we maintain that strong relationship with God, if we maintain the umbrella of grace so that we can be uplifted and not fallen from a position of strength. God wants us to be empowered, to be inspired, to be uplifted, so that we can lift up the hearts and minds of other people. There are so many topics of discussion that are important in God's eyes. Some of the things that I know are important to our Lord are things like the abortion issue, the gift of life and family life, marriage between one man and one woman, euthanasia, embryonic stem cell research versus adult stem cell research, the death penalty. The life issues are so important. And today, my friends, we have entities out there who are opposed to God's position on these issues. It's up to you and I to maintain our position within the grace of God so that we can be spokesmen, spokeswomen, lobbyists, generating power, zeal, and enthusiasm into the hearts and minds of our people in government, making the laws to protect life and family life as God sees it and not going against it. This is important, my friends. So as we proceed in the new year, I encourage you to stay focused on prayer, to stay focused on God's word and the impact it has on other people when we deliver it with a loving touch, with great zeal and enthusiasm, when we deliver it often. And God really has given us St. Paul as a role model to show us how to do that. Again, he wrote 13 books of the Bible, and he's given us great instructions on how to do many things. Today, he talks about God's grace and the impact it has had on your life. How has it changed your life in the past? And this being a new year, what will you do because you are under the umbrella of the grace of God? How will it impact your children, your family, your career? How will it impact your health, your focus on daily life? I want you to think about that, my friends, because again, St. Paul is a leader in God's eyes. He gave him great responsibility. After he was converted, he was lifted up and remain within the grace of God to be empowered, inspired, to do the work that God called him to do. And once again, this is the year 2023. And that year is based on the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. A year so powerful, an event so powerful, that world time is focused and rooted in these events, the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus. And we just celebrated the life of Jesus. This weekend, we focus on the Epiphany of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and it's a special time to pray for children who are newborns, that God will guide them and direct them in their life through baptism, through the Word of God, that He will circle them with good people. We pray for those women out there who are contemplating abortion today, those women who have had difficulties and struggles in the past because of post-abortion syndrome, supermother syndrome, those women who have children who have deserted them because of drugs or alcohol, maybe due to incarceration or sex trafficking. We pray for all children around the world today, right now, that God will bless them with a clear mind and an open heart to believe in Jesus Christ with their heart and to confess with their tongues that He indeed is our Lord and Savior. very important, my friends. We pray for our children out there, for my children, your children, my grandchildren, your grandchildren, that they will impact the world in a positive way once again, because the glory of the Lord shines upon them. Let's go to our gospel reading today from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. And here it is. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising, and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it has been written through the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word, that I too may go and do him homage.' After their audience with the king, they set out. And behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them, until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Gospel of Matthew today, my friends, the Word of God says this: "And behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them, until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. And they prostrated themselves and did him homage." What does it mean, my friends, to prostrate yourself? What does it mean to you and I? Lying stretched out with your face downward on the ground? It requires great humility, my friends, to pay him homage, to show great respect, special honor for our Lord's birth. And this is a moment where we reflect on the humility of the people present to see and witness the great gift that our Father in heaven had sent down from heaven through Mary, who is the vehicle by which our Lord entered the world. Once again, they prostrated themselves. And I want you to reflect on that, my friends, because when we are in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ in church, are we showing great reverence, deep respect? Are we prostrating ourselves? Are we genuflecting? Are we showing humility in the eyes of God? Or are we coming with something else? With arrogance, an egotistical attitude, a less than compassionate heart. What are you and I bringing to church as we go? Are we prepared, my friends, to bring the humility that was witnessed by God in this event that we just read from the Gospel of Matthew? They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Are you and I doing that when we go to church? Are we doing that when we are in conversation about our Lord Jesus Christ? Or are we too good, too big for that? Do we lack humility? Let's think about it objectively. In word and action, do we have the humility of our Blessed Mother Mary, the Mother of Jesus? We just celebrated the solemnity of our Blessed Mother Mary, the Virgin Mary, the Mother of God. We just celebrated that. And from Our Lady, we learn obedience because she followed our Heavenly Father. Through the angel Gabriel, she did exactly what she was told to do. And she said, "May it be done to me according to your word." Are we obedient to the word of God, to the commandments, the instructions given to us in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? The instructions given to us, the guidance and direction provided by St. Paul, who wrote 13 books of the Bible. Do we have the obedience and the humility that we need to have from our Blessed Mother Mary, a human being who is given great responsibility? Once again, the Gospel of Luke tells us that Mary is the vehicle by which Jesus will come into the world. The Holy Spirit will come upon her, and she will bear a son, and his name will be Jesus. So we look to Mary, our Blessed Mother Mary, who we honor as the Mother of Jesus. And the Gospel of Luke tells us that all generations will call me blessed. For that reason, we refer to Mary as our Blessed Mother. But we want to embrace her humility, her obedience, her lifestyle, her focus on God, her focus on the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus is seen visibly in the rosary prayer given to us in the 12th century by our Blessed Mother to Saint Dominic. And for 800 years, she has asked us to pray the rosaries, which is about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus through Mary's eyes, through her perspective. We see Mary very involved, extensively involved in the life of Jesus Christ. We see her in the Annunciation by the angel Gabriel, given the great word that she's to bear a son and name him Jesus. We see her as a pregnant mother-to-be, visiting with her cousin Elizabeth, who is also pregnant. And it's here that we pray for those expectant mothers to carry to term, to deliver their children, to raise their children as God calls them to do, to be great moms, and to avoid the abortion at all cost, to support life and family life as God sees it, a marriage between one man and one woman. We see our Blessed Mother Mary in the third joyful mystery, giving birth to her son Jesus. Giving birth to Jesus Christ. Mary, the Mother of God, is an essential part of the Father's plan for salvation. And it's right here that she receives the great gift of motherhood and the great gift of a son whose name is Jesus Christ. We see in the fourth joyful mystery the presentation of Jesus by the Holy Family, Joseph and Mary. And it's here that Our Lady, our Blessed Mother Mary, experiences her first of seven sorrows when Simeon the prophet tells her that her heart would be pierced with a sword. So our Blessed Mother Mary has seen the joy of the Lord. She's experienced the joy of motherhood, but also the sadness that comes with this great responsibility that she has been given. In the fifth joyful mystery, we see separation between Jesus and Mary and Joseph, where Jesus is lost for 3 days, 72 hours. Imagine not seeing your son or your daughter for 3 days and not knowing where they are. The fear that would come upon a person is very great. And our Blessed Mother Mary and Saint Joseph experienced just that. So here, at this point, we pray for those children who are separated from their parents because of incarceration, because of addiction to drugs or alcohol, because of sex trafficking, kidnappings, because of ego, pride, territorialism. We pray for that separation to be done away with, and that God will bring the hearts of a parent and a child together once again. But Mary experienced those same things, my friends, because she knew what it was like to lose her son for 3 days. And this is a special weekend where we celebrate the Epiphany of our Lord. And as we go forward this year, I challenge you to embrace a greater humility and a greater obedience towards God. A greater humility to say, I love you. Please forgive me. Thank you. I'm so sorry. A greater humility to genuflect when receiving communion, to bow your head at the name of Jesus. A greater respect for our Father in heaven, our Holy Spirit, and our Lord Jesus Christ. And a greater obedience to following the Word of God in all respects. This is your challenge for today. That's our show for today, my friends. My name is Deacon Joe Montone. May God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to thank you for joining us here at Holy Spirit Radio and Clear for Takeoff. God bless you and have a great new year. We'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio. God bless.
You have been listening to Cleared for Takeoff with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, a weekly preparatory program for your faith journey.